Hi, my name is Chris. I'm an act.
Hi, Chris.
It's good to be here. And the name of this, so the theme of this workshop is Laughter and Recovery. And I think the fact that we are here near the end of the day in a small room highlights how people undervalue the power of humor. You know, 4:30, you know, in the evening, small room in the corner in the back, last house on the left. Just something to just throw in, just fill up some time, you know what I mean? But today we're going to find out about the power of humor. As an addict, it started as a party, and I didn't want to stop, and it ended as a nightmare, and I couldn't, and you all can fill in the blanks. One of the first stand-up comics that I can remember was my father. When he used to whip me, he used to say, "It's hurting me more than it's hurting you." Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
It wasn't funny then, as that smoke was coming from my behind. But it's kind of funny then. The earliest evidence of a stand-up comic was the court jesters who were back in the day used to, you know, make people laugh. The people of wealth knew when they got the wine together and the people and the food, they said, go find somebody to make us laugh. The only problem with that was if the court jester wasn't successful, he was beheaded. So that's some tough work. They had a heavy turnover or headover rate, just depending on how you look at it. But we also know, as far as humor is concerned, in the 13th century, that physicians of that day used humor as an anesthesia and a distraction when they were performing surgery. Okay? In 1964, family, a gentleman by the name of Norman Cousins, he was an editor for the Saturday Evening Post. He came down with this debilitating disease called ankylosing spondylitis. It was a disease that was highlighted by the deterioration of the connective spinal tissue. It even sounds painful. The doctors of the day gave him a 1 in 500 chance to survive. They prescribed large dosages of vitamin C and aspirin. His condition worsened. So he checked himself out of a hospital and checked himself into a hotel. And because there were no VCRs back then, he bought movies, comedy movies, like Laurel and Hardy, Abbott and Costello, Three Stooges, Groucho Marx. He started feeling better. So I don't know how long Mr. Cousins stayed in the hotel, but he went back to the doctors and said, man, I'm cured on the strength of the humor. And the doctor said, if you think that your diagnosis was cured by humor, you're probably sicker than we initially thought. You probably need to go to a mental practitioner. So he wrote a book called Anatomy of an Illness, and that talked about his story. But it wasn't until 17 years later that the New England Journal of Medicine embraced his case study. And that was the first time in this country that the scientists and the researchers and the so-called experts embraced humor. They found out that people with a sense of humor have a better chance of surviving than people who don't. All of us have an immune system. And guess what happens when we laugh, family? Our immune system is pumped up. And guess what happens, family, when we're depressed and angry and hostile? Okay? When we laugh, our bodies produce a chemical that eliminates stress. 90% of people who relapse, stress is connected to it. Why are we here? Laughter and recovery? Because stress is our enemy. And humor is the enemy of stress. If anyone has any inkling of why we're here, stress is an enemy of people in recovery. In fact, anyone who's used for any consistent period of time, it's a stressful situation just not using. Just not using. It's stressful. It's abnormal. So we have to find things to eliminate that stress. And when you laugh, you can't be stressed out. In essence, joy and pain can't stay in the same house. Try laughing and thinking about killing somebody at the same time. So when I think about humor therapy, it's a comical or amusing instrument that is intentionally used to provide symptom relief, meaning somebody does something to make somebody feel better. When we look at relapse prevention, if I was not having a good time in here, I'd be using. I work hard and I play hard. I try to find things to make me feel good because humor is very important to me. I use for a very long time. There's a lot of skeletons and damage Heard a lot of people. How many people here know anything about denial? I remember when I was using them, the police kicked down the door of my house. I don't know why they were in there. You know, I wasn't bothering anybody. So has anyone ever come home after you've done something wrong and everybody mad at you? Even grandma got a hat on backwards with a Tim's on. I came back in the house, weighing about 110 pounds, four shades darker, just a mess. And I gathered everybody around and said, listen, I know that you're very upset. It's understandable. It's understandable why you're upset. But there's a simple, succinct explanation. Gather around. I'm working for the federal police. And we're trying to clean up the drug problem in Northwest Washington. By the way, you got $20. I remember a family, you know, when we use, we teach people who spend time with us what to look for when we use. So I'm normally a kind of a junky, unorganized guy. But when I get high, I want to clean up. I see I got some followers in here. So there were times when my people would come home and I would have two vacuum cleaners. And my mother would say to my sister, he got the Eureka and the Hoover. That thing must be extra good today. I also remember when I would get extra, extra, extra crispy. I would stop what I was doing, family, and get in the middle of the floor and do like this. So my mother came home one day, and I don't know how long I had been in my demonstration. And of course, she knew what time it was. She slapped my hand. She said, what are you doing? I said, what are you talking about? I tried to reverse it. You know how we do. Mother, are you having a bad day? Perhaps you need a program. She said, you're in here in my house high again. I said, I'm not. She said, what are you doing? I said, aerobics. One and two and three and four. What does this have to do with recovery? My family's recovering from my stuff too. And what humor does, family, is help navigate and move you from being a victim to being a survivor. See, it's more than just ha, 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 ha. We can go to Blockbusters and get a video, Kings, Queens of Comedy. But what we're talking about is empowering people to make themselves feel better. Because, family, we have the ability to make ourselves feel better or worse. Close your eyes for a minute and think about the saddest, angriest, stressfulest, most depressing time in your life. Just take a second. Now take a second to think about the happiest time or the joyous time in your life. I will ask the group this. Which feeling did you like the most? We're here to tell you that you have the power to make yourself feel better or worse. That when you're angry and depressed and stressed out, if you look to humor, there's a strong possibility you'll feel better. And after all, isn't it all about how we feel? No pun intended, but laughter or humor is no laughing matter. It's very serious stuff. How many people in here know that when you laugh automatically, your blood pressure's lowered? As soon as you start laughing, most of us could use some lowering of the blood pressure. We spend about 2,000 hours at work a year. People are getting sick at work. when they leave work, they get on the road. How many people here have experienced road rage? How does it make you feel when you are experiencing this rage on the road?
Out of control.
Out of control.
Homicide comes to mind.
Homicide comes to mind. What we suggest to people is when someone gives you the finger on the road, just look at it like they're saying hello. But do not say hello back, because every 4 seconds in this country, there's a violent episode on the road that ends in somebody getting hurt. And 90% of that time, the person who says hello back never gets to where they're going. That's why I say that humor is no laughing matter. Humor can save your life. When I was locked up 31 years ago as a youngin, 70, Lorton, 130 pounds, soaking wet. Only hair on my face was my eyebrows. The traditions, they had traditions down there. They turned out young boys. That was just, you know, nothing personal. They had a simple program. Rarely did they find. A lot different now because youngers in the lifestyle. I'm talking about when the youngsters were not in the lifestyle. When old veterans preyed on young boys. Wasn't a whole lot you could do. When I was down there, though, I knew I had pretty much the gift of gab. I could pretty much, if you let me talk, I could probably talk a pig into a ham sandwich. Can carry a note, sing a little bit, dance, entertain, you know. And they would say, Chris, sing us a song. And I'd say, shooby dooby doo. Just don't look at my butt. Shooby dooby doo. Just don't look at my butt. You know what I mean? I sing, dance, tell joke, whatever. So early on, I was trying to use some skills that I had. Because you had to. How many people here have been personally dismissed when someone has looked at you one day and said, love don't live here no more? Or I don't want you anymore. Before I go any further, the only way this exercise has worked is if we're honest. I just threw that out there. But if you haven't been dismissed, keep getting in relationships. Somewhere along the line, someone will give you a pink slip and say, love, don't live here anymore. Well, I had it done to me. And so the image, you know, manifested. I said, well, if you want to leave, I'll help pack your bags, hell. If that's what you have to do, you need to do what you have to do. Helped her pack the bags. And as soon as she left out the door. And then she moved in the neighborhood. That's a tough one, y'all. So every now and then I would do what I call unauthorized surveillance. So, on weekends when she would go out, because she was going out, I would look out the window, see the car. 2 o'clock, her car's still out there. She would need to get back in here. Now, remember, I've been dismissed. She would really need to get back in here now. 3 o'clock. From 4 o'clock, I saw the car. Went out there in the parking lot, December, and put my hand on the hood to see how long she'd been there. She walked up on me as I was touching the hood. She said, Chris, what are you doing? I said, girl, you better put some wax on this car. What does this have to do with recovery? Funny things and not so funny things happen on the way to recovery without using. You know, we get fired, people die. My father died. You know, he was very active with members of opposite sex up until the end. And my mother and he had separated but never divorced. And he was a runner, and he wanted to be buried in a jogging suit. So I bought him a little Nike suit. My mother and I were looking at him in the coffin. Looked real good. Looked sharp. My niece came by and said, "Where's Granddaddy running to?" And you know how you try to talk to kids about esoteric things. So I said something like, "Well, he's running to Jesus, and we all have to run that race one day." You know, that kind of stuff. Well, anyway, my mother and I talked and everything, and I was just looking at my father. I said, "Mother, let me ask you something. Between you and me and the lamppost, does it look like Daddy's jive got a smile on his face or a smirk?" And she said, she looked down, she said, "No, Chris, it does." I said, "Mother, I got to ask you this, between you and me. I think Daddy got a little something before he died." My mother looked at him, looked at me, and said, "Knowing your father, he probably did." We high-fived. Now, one might think, in a funeral, at a wake, the people in there looked at us like, "What's wrong with them?" But as far as my mother and I were concerned, like the Washington Post, Gary, if you don't get it, you don't get it. And maybe it's not funny on Monday. We'll get back to you Wednesday or Thursday. We suggest for people who are recovering that humor is essential. Because at the core of our disease is depression. And humor is the enemy of depression. So this is something that we need to keep in our toolbox. It's not a cure-all. It's not a panacea. It's not the answer to cancer. But in this day and time, with all the pressures, we are finding kids at 5 and 6 years old diagnosed with clinical depression. These A personalities, you know, aggressive, I want what I want when I want it, and all that kind of stuff. This is a society that is pretty much comprised of being pretty much a pressure cooker. And we need to have some resources to balance that stuff out. How many people in here know people who are always blaming other people for all that stuff? I have a brother.
What time we got, girl? What time?
I have a brother who stutters. He stutters. And he came to me the other day and said, white man is presence. So I said, Bruce, just sit down and have a glass of water. We'll talk about it. Why are you saying that the white man is presence? He wouldn't give me, God darn job. So I said, Bruce, what type of job did you apply? God darn disc jockey. But we addicts can use our disabilities. We can use our disabilities. I know a guy who's an addict who had a stuttering problem and went to apply for a job, and the guy said, "Look, I'm going to be straight up with you, sir. You have a speech impediment. And the other piece is, this is a job for a Bible salesman, door to door. We've been here 6 years. We have not sold one Bible. We've had people shot. We've had people stabbed. We've had dogs called on them. You don't want this, sir." He said, just give me a chance. I'll do a good job. So they laughingly gave him about 500 Bibles and helped him out the way, and the whole office laughed at him. Addict came back in about 5 hours with straight bang, 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 bang. So the owner of the company said, "Hey, I want you to do a training. Show us how you sold these Bibles. We've been here for 6 years. Haven't sold one." He said, "I just knocked on the door and asked him to question. Do you want me to sell you a Bible or do you want me to read it to you?"
Thank you.
You know, family. You know, family, you know, family, it's been a while since I've been locked up. I haven't used in a while and haven't been locked up in a while. In fact, I work at the jail, but I come to the front of the jail, not the back, because of you all. But when I used to get high, I used to hear a song and go something like this. You had the right to remain silent. Everything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. If you can't afford an attorney, one will be provided. Put your hand behind your back. Y'all remember that one? Anybody here ever smoked any hallucinogenics like boat and dust and stuff? When I used to smoke boat, I used to sing a song with something like this. I'm hoarse, but I'm going to try to give it to you. When I smoke boat. Love, exciting and new. Come aboard, we're expecting you to take off your clothes. Y'all remember that one? What does humor have with recovery? Humor allows us to look at the pain and find something pretty in situations that aren't so cute. The doctors say that a good sense of humor is a sign of good health. Last thing I want to say before I turn over to love. Is that we as recovering people are very innovative and creative. We always have something to tell you. It reminds me of a guy who, addict, crackhead, dope fiend, alcoholic, was walking down the street and saw a sign that said attack dogs. $1,000. So he went up there like a good addict, took the sign down, Greg. Like a good addict, took the sign down, said, I got you. Knocked on those doors, said, yeah, I got you. Fella said, I'll give you $500 now. And $500 when you bring your attack dog. He said, man, I gotcha. So he went smoke, shot it all up. Then he said, I got to go back and get that up for $500. So he did have a hoopty, little car. So he went around the streets just pulling any kind of dog. Give me a Fido, get your ass in the car. Give me a Fido, got about six dogs. All of them was walking like this. So he told the family, come on down here, I got your dogs. The family came down there and looked at him. He said, man, you must think I'm crazy. Those ain't no darn attack security dogs. Look at them. Look at the way they look. He said, they're working undercover. The best kind of laughter, as far as therapy is concerned, family, is laughing at the person in the mirror. And a gay friend of mine asked me the other day, he said, Chris, what do you call food that a gay horse eats? He said, hey.
Before our next speaker, everybody, I give you Garrett. Guy, I'm definitely at it. And I must report that God is good all the time. They set me up like shit. Is the tape on?
It's the other mic.
It's testing 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm in there.
Way up there.
Okay. You sure?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I said, I'm Gary, and I'm definitely adding. And Lord knows, look, I cross my heart. I swear to God, God is good. I mean, one of them hit the lip, cross the forehead, and cross the heart jaws. Huh? You know, laughter is just so good to do, right? But you know, I really, really don't be trying to entertain nobody. You know what I do. I sell things. And so, you know, I really don't be wanting to give you what you get. You know, but this here is the only place that I can be me. Huh? You know, I went to church one time and the preacher was talking about being a Molokah. You know what I'm saying? And when I heard that old big little small word, I said, I like that. I wants to be a Molokah. You know? And if you know what a Molokah is, a Molokah is a servant for God. See, you hear what I say. I said a Molokah is a servant for God. See, a lot of y'all in here don't know me. So, you know, I really want you to think I always look this good. And I want you to think that I always coordinated and wore Italian linen. It's Italian. It's none of that TJ Maxx stuff. It's Italian. I went to the store the other day and I got to the store 10 minutes before the place closed. And me and another friend of mine, and a friend of mine called, told me he need to go. This nigga wrong. He gonna get in my way when I'm going to geek all by myself. It ain't that I'm worried about him seeing what I get, but I geeks when I geek, you know what I'm saying? And I had the store all to myself. And the man was leaving us in the store while he run upstairs and just bring suits. Wasn't he great? And they were just laying out shit and I sent him in the basement and get them shoes and you know where they're in my size. So what I'm saying is I was geeking by myself, right? But I had to take him along. And so I want y'all to think that I always done this. And I always looked this pretty and my hair always was lined up and all that shit y'all see way back there jiggling and blingling and oh, you know, all back. You know, all the way back. You know, I want you to think I always had that. But because I'm so all right with me and because y'all so all right to me, you know what I'm saying? It's all right, guy, to let them know, but I'll smoke crack. Yeah, I will. I am capable of smoking crack off of a Hawaiian punch can. In 90 degree weather, with ants coming out of it. I didn't want to tell y'all that. And then I'm capable of doing a geographical change on public transportation. And I'll go to the other side of Washington in December and smoke PCP and then take all my shit off. On a public street. So since I'm all right with me, you know what I'm saying? I thought maybe I need to tell the newcomer that. You know what I'm saying? Because they still looking at the polka dots on the linen. You show this on. The people come pick me up in a convertible BMW and took me down the street. Lord, I know they had scrimps. Didn't they, Chris?
Yes, sir.
Had crab cakes with crab meat in it. That big. And all I could do, and then they was talking about Gary got to go first because, you know, he ready to do the jump down the street, so we're going to let him eat and go. You know what I mean? And I had forgot about doing the jump. I was just recognizing the part of what they be talking about. It'll become a time when you'll be glad to be in recovery. See, I don't plan to make none of you niggas laugh. You need to know that. See, I am the type of addict that started at the bottom and stayed at the bottom. I ain't never lost no jobs. I ain't never lost no cars. I ain't never lost no apartment. I ain't never pawned nothing, because I ain't never had nothing. But they told me in order for me to stay here, I had to be willing and have enough courage to let somebody know exactly where I come from. See, it wasn't funny when I was on Bennett Road with no clothes on. It was nothing funny. It was cold. It wasn't funny when I was smoking the crack out of the Hawaiian punch can with the ants coming out of it, and I sooner or later knew that ants was in there. Yeah. Sooner or later. See, cause, you know, when I took the hit off the can, right, I said, Lord, this coke so good, it got me thinking something crawling on me. So when I When I went back to hit the can again, that's when I seen all the ants coming out. But you notice I hadn't been here to Narcotics Anonymous yet. So I haven't heard the word obsession. I don't know nothing about compulsion. And you need to know I ain't got no disease. All I know is I'm going to let this smoke kill these ants. All I know is I'm going to let that smoke kill them ants just like it's doing me. You know what I mean? And then when I went back and puffed it again, mouth full of ants. I was spitting out ants. You know, little short breath. But see, what y'all failing to realize is, ain't nobody told me yet that I suffer from a disease that's so fatal. You understand? All I know is I need to get it in me. Ain't nobody looking. I ain't gonna tell nobody I smoke nothing with no ants. I ain't planning to come here. You need to know, y'all would have took this one to my grave. Ants? A bug? You're wrong. But see, I'm talking about after I got here and y'all told me that I had to tell that. See, so now you know how to smoke ants. You know that I done got bug necked. I ain't got no more secrets. I ain't got nothing else to be holding on to. I ain't got nothing else to be pulling me outside of me. Because when I was 6 months clean, on August the 10th, I was 6 months clean. And on August the 11th, my brother died of AIDS. And August the 12th was my birthday. And I always wanted to drive me a Cadillac. On my birthday, and my behavior had convinced me and my mama to put her name on that Cadillac, but I was so scared that I'd smoke crack that I would tell a nigga every move that I was fitting to make. Until one of you hot NA people told me, yeah, they hot, you know. You need to be careful going down Atlantic City because you know they give you Hennessy on the rocks. Then they gave me the paper that says alcohol is a drug. See, I don't like you people. But I like the way I look in the morning when my jaws, you know, ain't sucked in and my eyes ain't way back. And I don't ask myself them stupid morning questions. Greg with that ass bowl. I shouldn't have mixed that brown liquor with the white liquor. You know, it's that char and that stem. I don't ask myself no kind of questions no more. So, I mean, they asked me to do this here, and See, I knew that. This morning when I woke up, I said, I'm going to get in front of all the people that, and I'm going to be crying and shit. Because I got to tell them people about God and how he do it and what he'll do for you. Huh? Yeah, see, I got to let you know that there ain't no need of frowning and it ain't no need of being unhappy and it ain't got no reason to do nothing that I did before. And it ain't because I sell a tape. And it ain't because I got any Cadillac. And it ain't because I've been living in my own apartment for 2 years now. Ain't that? And it ain't because I got up on a 30-inch TV up in my bedroom with about four. I was listening to the radio the other morning, and Donnie Simpson told me, he got six remote controls on his nightstand. I said, you petty shit. You trying to let everybody know you got a scrambler, a satellite, DVD, VCR. And I said, well, fuck, I got the universal joint in it, and it work. And it work. See, that's why I laugh. I laugh because them children be fighting over who's going to be on the left and who's going to be on the right. See, I laugh when I walk up in that store and geek for me and geek super hard for them because I got to let you niggas know that I'm in recovery. Huh? I don't know about nobody else, but I got to show you that I'm in recovery. Yeah. See, so it ain't about no whole lot of materialistic things. See, one thing I just thank God for my sponsor introducing me to this cat called God. Can we talk? Because he just so, you know, he just so good. He just be breaking a joke over here. Just hold that right there. Just put that right there. And I just feel so good standing here because I know I'm a real member. See, because I just want money and because I got an expensive lifestyle and because I do what I do, it ain't got nothing to do with my desire of wanting to stay clean. See, just ask yourself how many of them newcomers come to you and say, I remember you came to that treatment center. See, I don't stand here. I don't stand here because I look beautiful. See, there's people that call me to do this. See, God told them to go get him. Yeah. Yeah. I ain't got nothing to say. Yeah, huh? It ain't no, I got a man and I know these people and, you know. The bottom line is, if you live right, good things gonna happen. Don't be mad at me. I ain't gotta apologize for nothing God give me. Yeah. Hey, do what I do, you might get what I get. I don't have to apologize. See, it wasn't no coincidence that I just ate crab meat that big and scripts and scallops and all. It wasn't no coincidence. It ain't no coincidence to be in nobody's house on a bay and all that other type of shit. It ain't no accident that people pick me up in a BMW and tell me I'm going to bring you right around to the door. And I like to play big. It ain't no whole lot of that. That's what my hand called for. What I'm trying to tell you, I always wanted to do this, but the crack wouldn't let me. I always wanted to be the best father that I could be, but the crack wouldn't let me. See, I always wanted to be able to give my mama 40s and 50s and pretend like I'm paying her to do my laundry, but that's her lambs. That's your lambs, boo. Yeah. Because that's the first one. I'm going to call when I, you know, if I accidentally, you know, yeah. I've been locked up about 2-3 times in the last month and a half. Ma, you need to go home, look underneath the thing in the back, get that 400-500 right there, and the police holding the most card. And I can't wait for no court date. Come on, hurry up. Is she going to be there? Is she going to be there? She going to be there. And the other day, see, look, this is no big-ism. This ain't no big shot-ism. It's only by the grace. See, when I got here, I used to wonder. I was wanting to know what grace looked like, and I wanted to know what it sounded like, and I wanted to know how I dressed, and I just wanted to know if he's fat or skinny or. You know, can y'all see? I'm gonna clam up on this motherfucker. It's only by the grace of God that I'm here. It ain't my fault. I was minding my business on that psych ward. I was minding my business on that psych ward with the real cute pajamas, with the $5 AIM bedroom slippers, with my brother's bathrobe. It's y'all on that H&M mess. Come on, come on. Come on, it's y'all. And to thyself be true, my life was so messed up, I would have sold Watchtower at 7-Eleven, but I didn't have no money to go to the thrift store to get a tie. So you mean to tell me that I can come here, it ain't no dress code, it ain't no dues, it ain't no fees, huh? And you could get a gold chain. That's what they don't want to look at. See, that's what they don't want to look at. And the newcomer don't care nothing about how I look. Don't believe none of the things I just said. What you need to know is tell me how to get me a gold chain. Because when I got here, hey, Floyd, when I got here, all I wanted me was a pair of Tim Jones. That's all I wanted. I wasn't calling no sponsor. He was talking about shooting dope, and he done smoked boat. And what I'm calling him for? Where do I get the Tims from? Then I got one pair, and then another pair, and gave some away. It's just a shame. It's just a shame, man. It's just, what I don't understand, man, is we'll try everything else, man. You know what I'm saying? We'll try linen. We'll try Georgetown. We'll believe them Italians will tell us that's real iceberg. That's a real Oochie Coochie pocketbook. And, I mean, you know, they'll put it in a fake bag and tell them, look, it even got the bag with it. But soon as somebody mentioned try God, we'd be ready to go. We'd be ready to run. See, I don't know about you, but I ain't never heard nothing real profound except I left him. He ain't leave me. And then when they broke it down and showed me the proof, you know, like 3 a.m, when it ain't no more cars to wash. Ain't no more stores to go to. All you guys a pocket full of demos, and every 3 minutes, you ask your man, how these look? I don't know about nobody else, but I smoke crack. I smoke crack. How these look right here? And I pretend like I'm looking for a bag so he don't know I'm geeking, and I be talking about, we need a new bag. They'll really go if we get a new bag. And then you'll see a light way down the street, and you accidentally, it ain't nothing on purpose. You know, you accidentally say, God, let that be my man. You see? I almost thought I was in the wrong place for a minute. Everybody got all quiet and shit. You know that, let that be my man. And it be like one of them geeking niggas like me, don't taste nothing, won't look at nothing. Just hope you gave me some coke. And don't you mention the police around here is hot. You know. And I'm talking, I've been around the murder, you know, I'm from the project, I know all that. And I still let a nigga tell me, Sam, it's hot around here, what you doing? You know, you got to hurry up. You know what I'm saying? And I really thought I'd done something. And I tell my man, C. Slim, I'm telling you, I told you them jaws was pretty. I don't have to do none of that no more. I don't go to store for nobody. Huh? Shit. The note is what? You're not sending me to no store. Talking about, look, nigga. I want steak and cheese with everything except lettuce. And I'll walk from here to 125th Street. Talking about Ray Ray want no money. No lettuce. Ray Ray don't want no lettuce. And get all the way to the door and be talking about, did he say mayonnaise? Then I got, and then you know, see, until I came to knock cars and arms, I found out Ray Ray just as scared as me, but he keep letting you know that he got that knife. So I bet not buy the wrong thing, right? I'll walk all the way back. And they be like, you know, I'm grinning, you know. And they looking like, I tell you, he better have my motherfucking money. I'm going to stick this knife in him. Let him don't have my money. Watch me stick him with this knife. And you say, nah, see, look right. Look, Joe. See, Joe, you're going to be mad at me. I got all the way to the door, and I forgot what you said. He don't hear nothing else but, where my money? Now I got to practice humiliation. You old, dumb, pipey. I sure stick you with this knife. Anyway. But I come in here and people tell me to go to meetings, get me a sponsor, get me a network of people, and help me to stay clean and don't use. But don't, just because you ain't tell me that, a whole lot of humiliation is going to come with that. Now I want to practice now. So what I do, I go on my job. And I tell her, I don't know who you think you're talking to. You must think I'm still on this. You need to watch how you talk to me. And then I got to call my sponsor talking about it. Not that I'm just 5 minutes away from smoking crack. I'm unemployed now, too. But Ray Ray will tell me, wait right here. Huh? I'll wait all day. But my boss tell me to do something that, and I know my money gonna be there on Wednesday. That just don't sound right, though. See, so if I don't practice humiliation, I'll be humiliated. That's what them NA people be talking about. That's what they saying when they say, do what I do, you get what I get. And it ain't even they car that they got. They talking about another day clean. That's what they be talking about. Don't leave 5 minutes before the miracle happened. And I forgot that the miracle already happened because I remember when I couldn't stay clean 20 minutes. Something going on in here. I like it in here. And they just keep telling you, come back. Just come back. You just keep coming back, and then I try to remember your name. What's your name? Shay. Just come back here. Just keep coming back. So, if you just want to know why I'm always happy, why I'm always sad, because see, it's, you just didn't see me that day when I was going through something. Hey, Greg, guess what? The woman won't do what I want her to do. She won't put the dishes where I want her to put them at. And the children won't stack them damn kids. And he'll just ask me a simple question like this. But see, you're the one with the program, and they all right with their own. That's what they be talking about when they say I'm responsible for my recovery. So that means that I just got to feel what I got to feel, do what I'm supposed to do. Don't use it, and my life will get better. See, I love the way he heated y'all up and all that old type of stuff. But see, whatever goes on in a meeting, supposed to go on. And see, there's a lot of people thought this was going to be a comedy show. But what they didn't realize is I had to let you know why I laugh. Cause see, wasn't nothing funny even after when I got clean, when I caught the woman in the bed with another man, seen the size of his thing, know it was bigger than mine. And they be talking about that supposed to be for men's wrath. I didn't have time. I don't have time to pick who I'm free myself with. Because you need to know I'm going to buy another shirt, 4 more pair of gaiters, a whole lot of linen, another remote control, a living room big TV. You actually thought I was going to stop doing what this program tell me to do because you know that the woman was in the bed with another man? Huh? You done lost all your mind. Nigga, watch me next week. But I seen the woman in the bed with another man. And I whooped that woman so bad, she had to get 28 stitches in her mouth. I'm not bragging. I'm not doing none of that. I'm talking about I didn't know what to do with the shame. I didn't know what to do with the guilt. I didn't know what to do with the ego. And I didn't know it was some guy going on in this area right here, you know, right over your thing with his right and this no. Under the navel. Would it be under the navel right here in this area? That's a serious area. Something going on. And I didn't know what to do. All I knew is, don't smoke crack. But I remember Oprah Winfrey said, beat her. So I beat her. But when I come up in the meeting and raise my hand like I did something giant, and the people tell me, I wish it was my daughter, I'd go get the police on you. And I didn't like, you know, I thought I was freeing myself. Them people don't like what I done. And they started, people started dying, and I started losing jobs, and then my brother died, and I was renting cars, and I went to New York, The people broke in the car. Then I went back to New York, and the people locked the keys in the car. Then I come home, and I got pneumonia, and it's 3 days for Christmas, and I'm living in an Oxford house, and the people want their rent, and my daughter wants the tumbling dog, baby. And my son asked me, is he going to get the Power Ranger with the handy grip? And I want you niggas to pass the basket. But all you telling me is, it's going to be all right. It ain't all right. You need to give me some instant gratification right now. Huh? Who, what, which one of you niggas got a business? Who, which one of y'all got a whole lot of money? Which one of you ain't got no children and you just want to buy somebody something? Don't you know I'm going through something? You need to help me. Which one? I mean, where's the real member of Narcotics Anonymous? So, I mean, this is what I want. So I got to sit there, that humiliation again, when them kids only got a little toys that I couldn't sell. The toys that I couldn't sell. And they wasn't, and they had that look on their face that, this ain't what I asked for, Daddy. This ain't what I want. You know, I wanted that other doll, baby. You know how little children don't even know that they telling you the truth. You know, I want that other doll, baby, Daddy. You know, and I had to sit there. And the disease on this shoulder and the angel over here. And he started telling me, I don't know why you stayed in the N.A. stuff all that time anyway. You could have flipped you plenty of quarters of coke by now. And the angel tell me, God, you lying? Don't you listen to him, God. And I had to make a decision. Huh? Is he lying or is you just don't know what's going on? Then I had to remember that I ain't never sold nothing without testing it. So he got to be lying because I ain't no hustler. I smoke. See, so, you know, it ain't no need of me pretending like, you know, I had no shoebox of money. It ain't no need of me pretending like I had no whole lot. Look, I ain't never had no shoebox of money. I ain't never had more than two working halves at one time. I worked at Roy Rogers because they got paid every week. The reason why I won't leave here, because I ain't never lived so good in my life. You can look at me and act crazy if you want to. And call me crazy. I got plenty of sense. Shit. I ain't punched no holes in no can in 8 years. Who crazy? I ain't got no new clean day. Who crazy? I can't keep no job, but I got enough sense to go get another. That's what that Donnie McCurkin man be talking about. The Just Man. Yeah. See if you got the CDU and know about the Just Man. I got enough sense to know that I can't stay there. I need to get up and keep going, because I will not give none of you the pleasure of saying, I told you you weren't going to stay. I don't know about you. I like people to bet on me. And I like one to come up short, not to see that. It's all right. It's all right. So if ain't nobody told you that they love you, I love everybody in here because I need another disturbed individual. You know, I need another disturbed individual just like me to just even try to tell me where I need to go. Because I don't be knowing where I go. I get up in that Cadillac and that Frankie Beverly get to going, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't get aware of what I'm doing until I get 5 minutes away from smoking crack. And if it's coke in the area, coke? Coke? Oh, see, that's what my antennas, awareness, and all that come up. It's so much, you know, it's It's just wonderful to be in recovery, man. People just be counting on you, or people be just watching you, and my mama be ready to break dance when I come, and my children love me, and I got another little boy in my life that just, he just be, he see me be ready to dive, and they be, Gary! Oh, man, I don't know. So, I mean, I'm telling you, I dare you to wake up in the morning and just thank something for waking you up. I dare you to feel what you're supposed to feel. Get you a friend. Let them know what you feel. 6 months later, you're going to find out that was your sponsor. The last girl you were talking to was part of your network. And you end up getting ready for an anniversary. I dare you. Thanks for letting me share.